to 5 of chapter 6. Look at verse 21 in chapter 5. It says that as sin reigned unto death, and we saw that there was a definite article in front of sin there, as the sin, or as the sin nature, or the Adamic nature, has reigned unto death, and there's a definite article in front of death, and we saw that it was the specific death, spiritual death. So as the sin nature reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And we said that, and look at verse 20. Should have started at verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where the sin, that is the sin nature, abounded, grace did much more abound. And as we looked at those last few verses in Romans chapter 5, we saw that that it's the sin nature that abounds, the Adamic nature, this nature that unfortunately is still with each and every believer. And we also saw that by being in Christ, we have a new nature, His nature, and we have these two natures within us. And we saw in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. The battle that goes on within us, that the flesh is lusting against the spirit who indwells us, and the spirit lusting or desiring against the flesh, and so there's that battle that goes on within us, and it says where the sin nature abounds, grace superabounds. Much more abounds. And the word there is overflows. It is much greater than sin. So, we saw that the thing is that we can't sin. We can't out-sin God's grace. Right? Where our sin is great, His grace is greater. And so then in verse 1, in chapter 6, there's a logical question. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in the sin, again, a definite article, in this sin nature, that grace may abound? And then in verse 2, it says, God forbid. And it's a very strong term in the Greek. May it never be so is another way to translate it, but probably the most literal translation of that is, how can it be possible? It's impossible. Why? What's the next few words say? That we are what to the sin nature? We are dead. We are, and there's a definite article there. We are dead to the sin nature, or to the Adamic nature. We're dead. We saw that death always means separation. You can translate death as being cut loose. So we as believers are cut loose. We are separated from this sin nature. So as we take a look at ourselves positionally, in terms of who we are in Christ positionally, that we can only we abide in the new nature. Right? Positionally, that's how God sees us. He sees us in Christ. We're in union with Him, abiding with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the new nature, and that's how we abide. And last week we saw that this sin nature has been, if you will, cut loose, and we looked at the word circumcision. You know, in terms of, we talked about circumcision of the heart, and then the Jews were very much after the ritual of circumcision in terms of circumcising males, and it was the cutting around of the foreskin, and they were locked on into the ritual and into the law, Like the Lord says, and Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, that true circumcision is circumcision what? Of the heart. And it's the cutting around of the heart. And so, so that when we put our trust and faith in Christ, our heart was cut around. There's this cutting around, this separation, this death, being cut loose, if you will, from this Adamic nature. So that's what we look like positionally. And it says, we're dead. We are dead. We are separated. And we saw that was an aorist tense. And we saw that an aorist tense is what kind of a tense? Okay, it's a fact. If they want to, in the Greek, if they want to stress the fact of something, it's the aorist tense, that it is a fact. Indicative mood, which means it's a reality in our life. This is real. This is who we are in Christ. Cut loose from that sin nature. Okay. So now the question is, how? How did this happen? Okay, verse 3. Okay, above the cross. And in verse 3, it says, know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Okay. Now, the first thing I want you to know is, in terms of observation, The best way that I find in terms of studying Scripture is I'll just use a simple 4-point outline observation. Just observe what is written in the text. What does it say? And the next step is interpretation. Did we go through this? No. Next step, interpretation. What does it mean? So you make all these observations, and then you ask the question, what does this mean? And you make an interpretation. And then, in order to understand or to determine whether that interpretation is correct or not, it must correlate to the rest of Scripture, right? Because if you have an interpretation and it doesn't correlate with the rest of Scripture, throw the interpretation away and start over again. So that it must correlate. So the third step is correlation. Does it correlate with the rest of Scripture? And if it does, then the last step is appropriation, appropriating that truth into our life. So as you take a look at verse 3, there's an observation. As many of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ, right? Observation. That every believer was baptized into Jesus Christ. Okay? Okay, now, what does that mean? Does that mean that you have a baptismal thing here? Do you have a... Okay. Does that mean when somebody wants to be baptized and they're baptized in the water, does that mean... Is that what it means? As many of us as were baptized into Christ, when we went through water baptism, that whole chapter doesn't use a drop of water, doesn't mention a drop of water in that chapter, does it? So it's not talking about water baptism. Tell you what, I got stuff here. So the baptism is talking about is, before I do that, let's take a look at the definition of baptism. The word baptism, we get our English word, we transliterate the Greek and get our English word from it. The Greek word is baptizo. And so, B-A-P-T-I-Z-O, baptizo. And we derive our English word directly from it, baptism, or baptized. And what it meant to to the Greek, which simply means to immerse. That's it. Means to immerse. Now, there's two kinds of immersion. There's being immersed in water, and we think of spirit, of water baptism as being immersed in water. But then it's used in Scripture in terms of spiritual baptism, in terms of being baptized into Christ, into the person of Christ. And what I'm going to do tonight, this is a cup of blue dye. Got the picture? Blue dye. I'm going to take this clean white handkerchief, right, and put it into this cup. And just forget about it. What I'm doing is I'm immersing this white handkerchief into the dye. And I want you to think about that dye representing the person of Christ. And here we are, and we are being immersed into the person of Christ. Okay? All right. We'll come back to that. So baptism is being immersed into something. In water baptism, it's being immersed into the water, and we are taken out of the water. But when it uses baptizo in terms of being baptized into Christ or into his death or into his burial or into his resurrection or into the body of Christ, spirit baptism means to immerse and never take out. So we are immersed into the person of Christ and never, ever taken out. And isn't that neat? And we become in union with him. And so we get the word identification is this living union. We've been immersed, identified into the person of Christ. And we become in union, an inseparable union. Nothing, no one can ever break that union. So that when we, I've got to switch shells on you. I did this once with real dye, and I got the dye all over the carpet and the walls, and I tripped on the stairs, and there it went. But so here we are. Okay, we've been baptized. We've been immersed into the person of Christ. You can't tell the difference between the two, can you? Because of that union. And you can't take us out of Christ. You can't take Christ out of us. Right? And so that's the union that it's talking about in verse 3. This baptism, this wonderful union that we have with the person of Christ. Okay. I told you I'm going to ask you trick questions. So here's a trick question. Do we need to be baptized to be saved? Okay. Yes and no. And the yes, if you say yes, okay, in Christ, in terms of the baptism that we're talking about now, right? In terms of being baptized into Christ, the Spirit of God taking us and immersing us into the person of Christ. So that's the yes. And the no is what? Water baptism. Okay. I don't know if, you know, people oftentimes when you talk about this, they say, oh, really? I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 16, and you tell me. So, excuse me, Mark chapter 16. Now, before we do this, I need to explain something to you. When it says that we were baptized into Christ, again, that is also aorist tense, which is the fact tense. It's a fact. However, it's in what is called the passive voice. Every Greek verb has a tense, a voice, and a mood, right? And the tense tells us the kind of action. Not so much the time of the action, although it deals with the time of the action, but the priority is put on the kind of action, what kind of action it is. It's a fact, a point fact action, or it's a continuous action for present tense. Or perfect tense we saw was action that was completed in the past time, but it has abiding results up into the present, perfect tense. So that's tense. And then every Greek verb has a voice. And a voice is the relationship of the subject to the verb in terms of, or the subject to the action. So that if I say an active voice means that the subject is actively participating and performing an action of the verb. Andres Galarraga hit the ball. Right? Active voice, subject produces the action. Andres Galarraga hit the ball. Active voice. Andres Galarraga is up at play, and Andres Galarraga got hit by the ball. Active voice? Passive voice, right? He didn't do anything, but he got hit by the ball. It's an outside agency, something, the pitcher hit him with the ball. So passive voice. All right. In this verb that we were baptized into Christ is a passive voice. We had nothing to do with it. We did not ask to be baptized. In fact, we probably never had a clue that we were ever baptized. And we, not only didn't we have a clue, we didn't know it, we didn't feel it, we didn't understand it the moment we put our trust in Christ at the cross. Right? We didn't know all these things happened to us. All passive voice. All happened to us in God's plan, the totality of God's plan. He just did all these things. Passive voice. Okay. So, with that in mind, let's look at Mark 16. So someone's going to come to you and say, you've got to be baptized to be saved. And if you're not baptized, you're not going to be saved. This is after the resurrection of our Lord, and he's with his disciples. And in verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Okay. So now, what does this mean? Does it say that you have to believe and be baptized to be saved? Is that what it says? Sure does. Right? You must believe and you must be baptized. Now, question. What kind of baptism is this? It's in water. Yeah. Okay, and you're right. It isn't water. And how do we know it isn't water? And yes, it's a passive voice. And he that believeth, active voice, is the subject doing the believing, okay, and is baptized, passive voice, when that person believes, he's acted upon. And it's automatic. He's baptized. See? Okay. And proof of the pudding is, as you look at the second part of that verse, getting back to my New York accent here. And the second part of that verse, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Notice it doesn't say that he believeth not and is not baptized. Baptism isn't even in the equation here. It's just not believing, you're damned, right? Okay. You probably all knew this anyway, right? Am I preaching to the choir?
I knew it, just didn't know how to explain it.
Oh. Yeah, so anyhow. Okay. So back to verse 3 in Romans.
Another way in Mark 16, the oldest manuscript, the United Delta, the oldest thing, is carbon 14 data. They only include that 9 through the end of the chapter of Mark in the Bible.
Oh, okay. That's one way of doing it. Yeah, okay. Okay, good. Okay. All right. So in verse 3, and before we go on in verse 3, and notice it says that we're baptized into Christ, into the person of Christ. Now, I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And look at verse 13. In fact, just to get it in a little context here, look at verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Greeks, and whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, let's just go through for a minute observations. How many are baptized here? All. For by one Spirit were we all baptized. And a little personal pronoun there, we, in the context, talking about believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's we, all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, were baptized into one body. Now notice it doesn't say that we were baptized into Jesus Christ, like Romans chapter 6, verse 3 says, but it says that we're baptized into one body. And the difference is, put them both together. Put Romans chapter 6, verse 3 together, being baptized into the person of Christ, and put 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 together, being baptized into the body. What's the body? Okay, members. Okay, the church. Okay, and so we have the members of the body, right? Because in the previous verse, it says we're all members, right? So it's talking about the members, and combine the members with Jesus Christ, who's the head, and now you've got the church. So that as you take Romans chapter 6, verse 3, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, were baptized into the church, into Jesus Christ, into the members, into the body in 1 Corinthians 12:13. Right? Okay. Okay. That is also an aorist tense, and it's also a passive voice. That's absolutely right. Yeah, we were acted upon. And the moment we believed, we were also baptized, immersed into the body. We're in the body, we're members of each other, and you can't separate any of us from the body, from each other. So, baptized into the body. Now, just as a little fun thing, I'm sure you have a lot of friends that are, and I don't think anybody here is charismatic, and I'm not trying to put down the charismatics, but they will come to you and talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what do they say the baptism of the Holy Spirit is? Okay. And how, let me ask it a different way. How is the baptism of the Holy Spirit to the charismatic manifested in our lives? Okay. Speaking in tongues. Right? So that if you do not speak in tongues, then what? You haven't been filled with the Spirit, you haven't been baptized. Right? Okay. So, now, I just want you to go across the page from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, and go to verse 28. Verse 28. Now, it says, and God has set some, I want you to look at that, emphasize some, okay, in the church, in the body, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles and the gift of healing, helps, government, and what? Diversity of tongues. How many? Some. How many were baptized?
All.
Okay? So that, I mean, proof text that speaking in tongues is not the baptism of the Spirit. Okay? It is not. Okay. Where do I want to go? Alright, let's continue on. Let's go back to Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Okay. So now we have each and every one of us as believers baptized into Christ. And as you continue on then, know you not that as many as were baptized into Jesus Christ were also, or were baptized, where? Into his death. Okay? We were baptized into his death. We were immersed into his death. We were put in union with his death. How? What part of us was put in union with his death? Was it the new man in Christ? The new nature or old nature?
Old nature is the old man.
Okay. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, and you asked me to distinguish between the two. And about the best definition I know is in terms of the old man is the old man includes the sin nature, Adamic nature, plus our entire frame of reference in Adam, you know, calling this the old man, and distinguishing that old man between the flesh, which includes our body, our mind, and our heart, etc. So, and sometimes it's very difficult in a passage, feeding in the nature, okay, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we grow in Him, as we come to know Him, and as we behold Him and His glory and His majesty, and we come to know Him, we come to know this guy even better, even more. Right? And so what happens is this. You get up in the morning and you have your devotion, and then your husband or your wife says something. Why don't you take out the trash? And then you get defensive. Well, I was just going to take out the trash. You don't have to, right? And you get defensive, right? Now, have we sinned? By my little response is, oh, I was going to do it anyway. I mean, guess who got defensive? The old man. Yeah. And boy, do I see that every day. And I know this guy well. And so we get defensive. So, all right. So the thing is this: as we're abiding in Christ, right, and the temptation comes that somebody pushes the wrong or the right button, to cause us that our normal response would be to be defensive, right? As we abide in Him and the temptations come, we can say, Lord, there's temptation. I'm dead. I've been cut loose. I've been separated from that. My normal response was, let Him have it, right? Verbally. But I've been cut loose. That sin nature doesn't have to rule it over me anymore, doesn't have to lord it over me anymore. I've been cut loose. And as we get into Romans chapter 6, we're going to see that Paul, when he gets down to verse 11, says in verses 1 through 10, he lays down all the doctrine, all the facts. And then in verse 11, he says, now rest on the fact. Trust in the fact and rest on it. So he says in verse 11, reckon yourselves dead to the sin nature. Legizimai. Put it down as true that you're dead, so that when the temptation comes, you're dead. It doesn't have to have power over you anymore. You're not united with it anymore. We've been cut loose. And to recognize the fact that we have been cut loose from that sin nature, we don't have to respond to it anymore. It doesn't have to rule over us anymore. And all the Lord wants us to do is to say, Lord, thank you. I am dead. I am co-crucified with Christ. He is co-crucified. He is dead. And I don't have to be a slave to Him anymore. And it goes back, yes. It goes back to the will. Back to choice. It does It does go back to choice.
Certainly, in my own mind, I've been a believer many years, and suddenly this came to me. The Lord spoke to me, and I stood there. And I thought it wasn't from choice. And the day I really realized I was my body and I was crucified with Christ. For 3 days, I can say, I went around and said, I can say. The experience lessened, but just as you said, no, I'm dead, you can't touch me.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and I think what Charlene is saying, Ruddy, is that when that temptation is there, you can respond or not respond. And so I think what Charlene is saying, there's the will that enters into it, and do we want to rest on the fact and trust and walk by faith in the fact that we're dead? And when we, just as you said, when you found out you were dead, that was exciting, wasn't it? And so the cross is applied in our life every single day. The cross is crucial in our life every single day, every single moment. Okay, let's go. Brad, would you like to close us in a word of prayer?
Well, Father, grateful we are once again to come into your word and be shown just how merciful and the grace and the mercy that abounds beyond our imagination. Thank you, Father, for your word and for men that have gone on before us and for our brother Hal that has spent much time in the Word studying the different languages necessary to gain understanding. Thank you for his willingness to come and share with us. But Lord, thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who so willingly and obediently gave of himself that we would not no death and separation from you, but that we could be united with you and united with one another through your Spirit living and dwelling with us. Lord, as we go our different ways this night, we pray that what we learned here, we would be able to apply it to our lives, that we could have opportunity to even share with others that you might be glorified. And now, Father, as we journey home, we pray that you would watch over each and every one of us, grant journey's mercy, until we gather together again, either on Sunday or on the way up. Commit this time to you and this night in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thanks.